there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the final hour on this Meat Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We're down a Danette. Paulie has the day off. Buffalo wings, white chicken chili, and mozzarella sticks. That's on the Traeger. Who's got it better than we do?
Nobody.
Phone calls are welcome. Final hour, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Good morning, those watching on Peacock. Thank you. Downloading the app, watching for free, and our radio affiliates around the country. I was curious about this because you have the slam dunk contest, the three-point shooting contest coming up. The number of dunks and the number of made three-pointers in the last five NBA All-Star games. Have we had a game in the last 5 years where we've had more dunks than three-pointers? If you said yes, you would be correct. 2022, 49 dunks, 48 three-pointers. 2021, 38 dunks, 58 three-pointers. 2020, 51 dunks, 35 three-pointers. Back to 2019, there were 62 three-pointers made in the All-Star game compared to 34 dunks. 24 dunks in 2018, 36 three-pointers.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by the great folks at Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. We have a buy one, get one 50% off sale, all t-shirts on danpatrick.com. Buy any shirt, get another shirt 50% off. Always appreciate Mike Tannenbaum joining us. He makes us smarter. ESPN NFL front office insider, former general manager in the NFL. And you can see him on Get Up, also on SportsCenter, the different shows that he contributes to. And joins us now. Mike, are the Chiefs a dynasty?
Not yet, Dan, but boy, they're quickly going into that conversation. And what's remarkable is they had 154 games played by rookies this year, the third most of any Super Bowl champion.
Wow. So one more Super Bowl appearance, AFC title game. Like, what constitutes a dynasty in the NFL?
Yeah, one more title, because now you're going to be sort of like into that next echelon of like the Belichick and Brady's are still a little bit of ways away, but above anybody else, you know, anybody that you think about in terms of like sort of like one and done, like the McVays of the world, certainly the Kyle Shanahan's, like those other really good teams, this kind of puts you between Belichick, Brady, and the rest of the fray.
Explain to me from a front office perspective why Eric Bieniemy would feel the need to leave the Chiefs as the offensive coordinator to go to the Commanders to be the offensive coordinator.
You know, Dan, that's what the marketplace is saying right now. Like, unfortunately for Coach Bieniemy, he's just not getting the credit as the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, where they've had remarkable success, and we're seeing much lesser guys, taking nothing away from the Shane Steichens of the world that have been a coordinator for 10 minutes, where Eric Bieniemy helped literally identify Patrick Mahomes, helped draft him, develop him, and he can't get a head coaching job. If I'm him, I'm probably doing the same thing. I'm going someplace else. I'm cutting the umbilical cord. I love Andy Reid, but I got to go on my own so I can get to the next step.
But do you think it's because Reid and, you know, Mahomes loom so large that he'll never get the credit he deserves or wants? Therefore, if I go to the Commanders and I, you know, create something around Sam Howell and those young offensive weapons, now I got a better chance of being a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's the case. That's what the marketplace has clearly told us, that I have to take a half a step forward to take half a step back to take two steps forward. Mm. It's unfortunate, Dan. I spent time with Coach Bieniemy. He is smart. He's relatable. There's a reason players love playing for him, but the marketplace has basically told him, like, we think Andy Reid deserves a credit, not you. And to his credit, looks like he's going to go off on his own and you know, carve his own path.
I heard you say this on the mothership, and I wanted to have you on so you could relay it to my audience about what you would do if you're running the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is a possibility there, that you got to entice him to give me at least 2 years. And your thought process, if you were the GM, would be what?
I'll reluctantly give up the first round pick to Green Bay. I'm going to pay Aaron. He has this roughly $60 million option bonus. So I'm going to pay you $60 million a year. But Aaron, we need to know you're going to be here for 2 years. So fully guaranteed, 30 in year one, 90 in 2024. And now I know you're here for 2 years, buddy.
But if I said you could have Derek Carr for less money for a longer period of time, or you could have Aaron Rodgers?
I'll go with Rodgers. You know, when you really look at Derek Carr, he's been a B-minus, Dan. Like, when you look at it objectively, 32 years old, he's been in one playoff game. And now that we have seven teams make the playoffs in each conference, I want a little bit more juice for my quarterback. Mm. Look, A-Rod didn't play well last year. We know that. Lost to Detroit, didn't make the playoffs. He's an all-time great. I'm going to try to squeeze two productive years out of him.
Yeah, I just don't want drama, any more drama that comes with the position. Now, Aaron, are you going to play? I know you're financially incentivizing him, but I would almost feel it, because it feels like the Jets are maybe 2 years away from being a playoff team, maybe next year. But if I look at 4 years, then I think they're going to be a playoff team and you know, a force to be reckoned with. I just don't know. Are they on schedule or ahead of schedule as far as being a playoff team, in your opinion?
With Aaron Rodgers, I think they're a playoff team. And if you and I were running the Jets, I'd say a couple things. One, let's go get A-Rod and draft his replacement. Like, we could do both those things. And I think if we had Derek Carr, and we're competing with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson, I just think we're going to be, at the end of the day, feel like we're coming up a little bit short. So when you think about how do we win the division, and again, we don't know what's going to happen with Tua and his health, and but clearly Miami's added a lot of firepower there. I need to score points, and I know I could do that with Rodgers.
Okay, would you rather have Lamar Jackson or would you rather have Aaron Rodgers with the Jets?
Yeah, if I can get Rodgers for 2 years, absolutely. If I only get Rodgers for one, I'm going after Lamar Jackson. Dan, he's only 26 years old. Remarkably, he's already thrown for 124 touchdown passes. He's rushed for over 20 more as well. And this guy has won an MVP. Every defensive coordinator you talk to in the league, job one is to stop Lamar. I know durability is a little bit of an issue, but you know what? It's an issue for Matt Stafford and Dak Prescott. We've seen 68 quarterbacks start a game this year. So to me, Lamar Jackson, because of his age, that's who I'm going after next.
Are you convinced Tom Brady is retired? Retired?
You know, that's a simple question, a complicated answer. You know, if Josh calls him up in June and says, hey, buddy, I need 17 freaking games, you're not even allowed. Like, it's what we did with Favre. Like, Brett, I'm going to fine your ass if you don't hunt and fish every Tuesday. Like, here is the farm. And I'd run the same play with Tom. Like, Tom, you're not allowing the building till Wednesday. I need you for basically 50 practices, 17 games. Gronk's going to come in to be your caddy. Let's go.
Okay. If you're Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady for a year, Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I think Tom, you know, it's like the mathematical equation. One more good year probably equals five more years for Josh in terms of, hey, you know, can we develop Stidham? Is it another draft choice? You know, with Jimmy G, again, like, Dan, if we're running a team in the AFC, like, our calculus has to be, like, do we have the firepower? Again, it's murderer's row right now, and they're young. Mahomes, Herbert, who's beaten Mahomes, Burrow, who's been to a Super Bowl, Lamar's been an MVP, Josh Allen's been to an AFC championship game. Like, those five or six teams, like, the bar is high, and I just don't know if we want to go into a fight for 17 games with Jimmy G against that batting lineup.
Any hesitancy in giving Jalen Hurts the market value?
No, and I would say this. Here's what's really interesting, Dan, on that one. It's $50 million a year, and if I'm – look, there's scar tissue in that building with Carson Wentz. I get it. But if I'm the Eagles, I'm going to go as long as possible. Josh Allen did six. Mahomes did 10. And here's the interesting thing. He's a second-round pick, Dan. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I may say, you know what, fellas? I'm not coming in without another, you know, a new deal. And they have – that's the leverage that Jalen Hurts has. He has a lot of leverage about not showing up.
But you think it's going to be 50?
I don't see how it could be anything less. When you look at the market and where it is right now, I think 50 is the minimum. And if I'm the Eagles, I'm going first because Burrow's eligible, Lamar's eligible, Herbert's eligible.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to get more? Like, Burrow's going to get more than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Chris Canty made this comment, like, look, we're all talking about it. When you look at the macroeconomics of the NFL, Dan, and you look at the Amazon deal and now the YouTube deal that's going to kick in for Sunday Ticket, caps 228 this year, like, we're looking at 250, 275, and we're going to look back and be like, oh, you know what? Like, Joe Burrow at 52 and a half, that's not bad. And the world's changing before our eyes, the world's changing. And I am trying to get my guy signed ASAP and then let everybody else blow by him.
Okay, so you want to be the first guy to sign, therefore. But I don't know if everybody's looking at what happened in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson and saying, I want my client to get guaranteed. Everything's guaranteed. So we start at $230 million guaranteed. Is that what's happening now with the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting, Dan, candidly, will somebody else blink? You know, for me, I think there's another team that would give Lamar the guarantee before it'd be the Ravens. If the Ravens were going to do that, they wouldn't have gone through all the angst and done it a year ago. So clearly they're not doing that. My question is, like, does the Atlanta Falcons, does the New York Jets say, you know what, like, we think it's 170, we're going to do 230, and we're going to bite the bullet on the next, whatever the number is, 50, 60 million to get this thing done. I think there's a team that could do it this year because, again, when you look at the league, Dan, I have 14 teams that need a quarterback, including the entire NFC South.
Yeah.
And in the draft, there's maybe three guys in Will Levis, Bryce Young, and C.J. Stroud. So it's certainly going to be a quarterback-driven market, and someone may bite the bullet and do it.
I would love to see Lamar Jackson in Atlanta on the turf, and they've got some weapons there. Because I thought Atlanta was going to be on the cusp of being a playoff team. Now, granted, it's the NFC South. It felt like everybody was going to be on the cusp of being in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. I'll leave you with this. The Bears are on the clock. If you're running the Bears, depending on what your grade is with Bryce Young and what you could get for Justin Fields, what do you do at the top of the draft?
This is easy for me. It's Bryce Young, Dan. I've scouted him. I've talked to him. I've met with him. He has a chance to be really, really special. He's small, and that's a concern. I would trade Justin Fields, who's a good quarterback, but we just went through talking about all these $50 million plus deals. If you can reset that clock for 4 years and get Bryce Young a deal, go use that cap space, get a one for Justin Fields. I think you'd be much better off in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Because people say, oh, you know, Justin Fields hasn't had a good offensive line, he hasn't had good weapons. I get that. But I also have to worry about, you know, is this sustainable that he can continue to run like this? He's wonderful, but if I can get Bryce Young in there, reset the clock, and then maybe start to spread that wealth around, then it feels like I got a better chance of winning in Chicago.
I totally agree. And you can look at Jacksonville to me. They took advantage of Trevor Lawrence's deal, and they went out and got a whole bunch of B's, you know, Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. I just feel like there's a way you could rebuild that team much quicker. You know, they added a couple guys on defense, and Brandon Scherff turned out to be a really good offensive lineman that I think really helped Trevor Lawrence. And I would do the same, like guys like Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown are free agents. You got to help the quarterback, Dan. And take Bryce Young, reset that clock, spend the cap money on the lines, and go from there.
Always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate having you, Dan. Have a good week off.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, former NFL executive. You can see him on Get Up and SportsCenter. He is a great contributor to those shows. By the way, Saturday, the Premier League on NBC and Peacock. Newcastle hosts Liverpool. That'll be coming up this weekend, NBC and Peacock. Let's see. Bob in Montana. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. So my Traeger grill is 4 foot five and a hard 124. So speaking of Traeger grills, and since today is Meat Friday, some people may not realize that your grill has a name tag in it. For example, my grill says, hello, my name is Mr. Chain Blue Lightning, because I named him after Josie Wales. Well, I'm curious if the grills on your set each have their own name. And if not, maybe DP Nation could get involved and some swag could be awarded for the best name suggestions.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Bob. Give that, take that under advisement, as they like to say. We're going to name the we use the Traegers against the far wall. Those are the two that are always in use. Now, we have four grills out there. And now we have to make way for the new grills that Traeger put out. And that'll be coming up in a month or so. And right now, so I have cameras all over the place in the man cave. I don't even know how many cameras we have. But I do have a camera on Meat Friday that's fixed on the outside grilling area. So I can keep an eye on the grills right now. If Tyler goes out, and I can, or somebody goes out, Mario goes out occasionally and tastes what's on there. And then I yell.
Busted.
Remember the French kid? French kid lied to me one time. Because I said, hey, you guys don't eat till 12:15. On-air people eat, and then the 12:15. That's how we came up with the name of the podcast. I see the French kid on the monitor, and he's eating. I go out, and I go, did you try some of this? He goes, no, not till 12:15. I said, do you want me to play back the tape?
Oh,
and he goes,
no.
Okay, maybe I had a little bit there. I said, what don't you understand about 12:15? You get it after the show at 12:15. That podcast available right after the show, the backroom guys, they tape the 12:15 podcast. Let's take a break. Coming up next, Al Michaels will join us. We'll look back on the Hall of Fame career of Tim McCarver, passed away yesterday. Also, more phone calls as well. We're back after this. If you own a business, been a bumpy ride, pandemic, inflation, you could use a break. And if your business has five or more employees, managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. If your business qualifies, you go to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, and answer a few questions there. They do all the work, no charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash that they get back for you. And it's not a loan. It's a refund of your taxes. Go to GetRefunds.com. They've assembled a team of tax attorneys, highly trained in a little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned over $1 billion to businesses, and maybe they can help you as well. Once again, they do all the work, no charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash that they get back for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those that took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. This payroll tax refund program only available for a limited amount of time. Don't miss out. Go to GetRefunds.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. You like Phil Collins there, Marv?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. This is Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, also from Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
Little duet.
Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, we should give Phil Collins his flowers. Look, he gave us In the Air Tonight, Easy Lover, and Emily and Petty. His daughter is the star. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so let's thank him for all of that.
Yeah. And he can't perform anymore because he's got a bad back.
Damn.
But he was also in Genesis.
He's been carrying the music community for 30 years.
Yeah. And we have the Genesis right Invitational this weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Oh, that was the joke.
Yeah.
We were going to play all Genesis songs we were supposed to play.
Thank you, Todd.
That was the joke.
Oh.
Genesis.
Todd, you wear me out.
I'm sorry. Easy love. That's a great choice.
You wear me out.
I'm sorry.
Wear me out.
About as real as you can be on this show.
I'd love to talk to you a little bit more, but I'd rather talk to somebody I
totally
like.
I totally understand.
Al Michaels, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the program. Al, how you feeling?
Speaking of bad backs. Not bad, though, but I'm going to tee it up in about an hour and a half with Mr. Jim Nance, who is out here for the Genesis. Yes, sir.
So Nance is going to play golf?
Today, right? And I'm thinking about what you told me,
Johnny Miller.
But I'm on the range the other day, and somebody gave me six syllables, right? Not four. So now I'm all screwed up.
No, keep it simple.
I'd like to, but I have like 837 swing thoughts. And the only one that works is please God, don't let me whiff.
Yeah, but have you whiffed before?
No, but I when I played in the AT&T back in 2008, I couldn't feel my body. 5,000 people are lining the fairway, and that's all I could think about. Please God, please don't let me whiff.
And here you are, you've done all of these major events, Olympics and World Series and Super Bowl. But if I said the most nerve-wracking thing that you've ever been a part of, AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is up there because they think you're good, and you don't want to take somebody out with a shot down the third base line.
Not only up there, it's on top of the pyramid, Dan.
Yeah.
There's nothing even close to the way I felt on the first tee at Pebble Beach. Not only are you thinking about killing somebody, but just embarrassing yourself or hitting like a 4-yard dribbler. And then you have to take a fairway with. I mean, I'm thinking, just get me out of here. Get, please, God. So I hit like 140-yard ground ball down the third baseline and got the hell out of there. All the rest of the day was perfect.
All you want to do is make sure that your first tee shot is great and the last putt you make on 18. That's all you care about when you play in these pro-ams.
By the time I got to 18, nobody's there and nobody cares.
What you think of the Super Bowl?
Hell of a game. Great game. You know, again, it gets, I don't want to say determined on one play. Everybody's saying, what'd you think of the call? I mean, we've seen that play 1,000 times. It's a 50-50 call. The one thing that I felt was, I saw some columns and some other people talking about the fact, you know, you can't let a game end that way. To me, I think justice should be blind. I think if it's pass interference on the first play of the game or the last play of the game, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So they called what they saw. I thought Bradbury was very classy, saying that he was hoping they would let it go, but they didn't. But it was a great game. It had a lot of hype. You had the two best teams during the regular season and to the postseason to that point. So, that's why we love football, games like that.
And players just want consistency. If you're going to call right. that in the first quarter, then they're going to call that in the fourth quarter. And I think Bradbury may have been under the impression they're going to let us play because they weren't calling holding throughout the game.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But it was a great game. Very entertaining, obviously.
We love having you on, but we also wanted to have you reminisce on Tim McCarver. He replaced Howard Cosell in 1985. And your thoughts when, I mean, talk about different personalities to, you know, exchange one another in the booth. What were you thinking when Tim McCarver came into the booth for Howard?
Number one, I loved Tim. Loved him. Hall of Fame human being, Dan. So when Tim retired from the field, from playing, he did some – I had done a few games with him. In those years, we were mixing and matching around the clock, and every week was somebody different. We had Don Drysdale. Earl Weaver had retired for a couple of years. I had Earl. I had Steve – I broke Steve Stone in, who's now had a 40-year career. And Tim and Jim Palmer were doing a lot of games, and Jim had then retired at that point, so he was full-time with us. So going into the 85 World Series, we were alternating postseason with NBC. So they had the playoffs. It was our World Series. And Howard, at that point, Cosell had become cantankerous, to use a word that he loved to use all the time, and bitter. And he would pretty much cast the pall over the entire crew because he didn't want to be there. And, you know, we didn't want him to be there. And then about a week before the season ended, he wrote his second book, called I Never Played the Game. And in the book, he trashed everybody at ABC, including Rune Arledge, who had given him the job and had let him have free reign all of those years. So when that came out at ABC, they were talking about, what are you going to do now? You're going to put this guy on the air who's angry and bitter, blah, 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 blah. So I get a call from one of the ABC executives during the playoffs, which are on NBC at that point, and he tells me, we're replacing Cosell with Tim McCarver. That was one of the greatest phone calls I've ever had in my life. And Tim and Jim and I wound up doing a dance in the 85 World Series, 87 World Series, the 89 World Series, which was the earthquake. And then we shared the 95 World Series with NBC with something called the Cockamamie Baseball Network. But Tim, and you know, it's so funny. I think of so many things with Tim. One of them, of course, would be in the Earthquake World Series in 1989. We come on the air at 5 o'clock. We're doing the scene set. The earth shakes at 5:04. But I had led to Tim. We're on camera. And then Tim is narrating and dissecting a play that had taken place two nights before in game two in Oakland. And all of a sudden, I blurted out, we're having an earthquake. And Tim put a death grip on my leg. And Tim would always say that, you know, I grabbed his leg. I said, Tim, I have the scars to prove it. I have been through earthquakes before. You haven't. But I had a only can let me put it to you this way, Dan. Three person booths are tough. You know that. It's very tough. And I've had a few of them in my career. This was one where I have to say that the three of us together, Palmer and McCarver and myself, we were, I think, better as a threesome than any combination of the two of us. So I loved it. I treasure the memories I had with Jim and with Tim, because they were so into making the telecast as great as it could be. They were great men. And, you know, you had Palmer, who knows everything about pitching, obviously, and Timmy, who knew everything about everything as a catcher, played for four different decades. So he saw everything. And the one thing that I was certainly convinced of during those years, Dan, if he had become a manager, he'd have been a great manager. And he had opportunities to do that, but he just preferred broadcasting.
Yeah, I wondered about that because, you know, we marvel at Tony Romo, or at least we have, where he's predicting something that would happen. Tim would tell you what he thought was going to happen a long time ago, that he was so ahead of every other analyst, it felt like, that he was playing the game while broadcasting the game and saw it in a unique way.
Very much so. He was able to do that. He was also able to bring up certain things that you never had thought about. And I mean, I knew a lot about baseball at that point because I'd been with the Reds. As you know, you were listening to me when, you know, you were in your bassinet and I'm doing the Cincinnati Reds. And, you know, I'd been with Sparky Anderson and Pete Rose and Johnny Bench. I had a PhD in baseball. And then I started working with Tim, and he would bring things up. And I thought to myself, wow, nobody talks about these things. It's so true. And he made it so interesting. And he loved the game, and he loved teaching the game to people. I would say, when I think back through my career, I had John Madden, who, of course, taught millions of people to love football more than they did and to understand football. I would put McCarver in that category with baseball. I think Timmy taught as much baseball to millions of people as John Madden did football to the millions of people who love John.
But then do you allow a little more room for Madden and McCarver? Your role as play-by-play voice, does it change in accordance to who your analyst is?
It does, and with both of those guys, and so I'm not saying that everybody's the same, but these guys were at the top of at least my pyramid. The great thing about McCarver, so in the way I do play-by-play, and you've heard me for years, I incorporate a lot of the fundamental or rudimentary analysis inside my play-by-play. Now, I've worked with some people who don't want that because I'm saying what they wanted to say. And if you know what I mean, in other words, I don't have to give you just the basics, but I will tell what I will do is give you a launching pad with McCarver, especially. And I said to Tim one day, I said, listen, am I taking up too much of your space? He says, no. You keep doing what you're doing because you're forcing me to go to a different area where I feel like I'm energized and I can bring up certain things that normally I would not bring up because I would do the rudimentary or fundamental analysis. So he loved it. And I loved working with him because, boy, you let him go and you don't know where he was going to go, but you would learn. You would learn and appreciate what he was talking about.
Yeah, I grew up with Tony Kubek when he was doing it. And I thought Tony was spectacular.
And I did too.
I mean, and very underrated as an analyst. And then when Tim came in, it's almost like, oh, my God, this is so unique. And then all of a sudden, like the audience gets tired, it feels like, after a while. And they're like, oh, he's a know-it-all. And But in the beginning, it's like, oh, this is great. He knows it all, and he's sharing it. And then it felt like going, oh, here's Tim going to say, I'll tell you. And I don't know, it just feels like maybe that's what's going on with Tony Romo. Like, yeah, that's okay. Now we want to hear something else.
I don't know. Look, it's difficult. And at least with Tim, he was only on once a week. To me, it's amazing that, you know, especially when he took like the Mets job and he was with the Yankees, he did the Giants for a while, he did a bunch of Cardinal games. If you're on every night, that's really tough to bring up new stuff every night.
Yeah.
But on national television once a week, Tim was able to do that. But believe me, I would sit there next to Tim and go, damn, you know, I've seen a couple of thousand baseball games. I never thought about that. And, you know, and just, I mean, look, he was just a wonderful man. He was courteous, just the way he treated people. I mean, I love the guy. He was fantastic. Just love the man.
He's Al Michaels, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, getting ready to go tee it up with Jim Nance. Handicap-wise, how many shots is Nance giving you?
Well, we were partners yesterday, and we went down the tubes. We lost, I think, $40, okay. Whatever it was.
Okay.
So today, you know, Jim and I, we're brethren. So, you know, whatever our handicap, Jim's pretty good these days, I got to tell you. You know, I played with Jim for a long time, but he's got that Johnny Miller.
Yeah.
My problem is, you know, I went to those XGO clubs, which are very light and they're very good, but I can't hit the ball more than, you know, 150 yards. So, Danny, what am I going to do, kid? What do I do? I go to the Strixons, I go to the Pinnacles. What do you want me to do? Tell me something. Tell me anything. And I'm left-handed playing right-handed golf. I mean, I feel like you're my shrink right now.
and you play on, hey, you play on a great golf course. Bel Air is a wonderful golf.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And
you
tell
them that soon? When are you coming out?
I don't know when I'm coming out. But I did tell people Riviera is so pretty, but it's pretty hard too. Like certain courses you go, God, that looks so much fun. And then you get out there and you're like, damn, this is a difficult course.
I played in the Pro-Am the other day. I teed off at 7:50. It was 42 degrees and the wind was 40 miles an hour in the Pro-Am. I went home and I slept for 3 hours. 5 o'clock. It was a lot of fun, though. Played with JT Poston, young pro. He's won a couple of tournaments. Good guy. Really good guy.
Well, good luck today.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, good luck today. Tell
I'll report. You won't be there Monday, but I'll report in anyway.
Tell hello, Jim. That hello, friends. That we said.
Hello, friends.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank
for
you,
sure.
Al.
Take care, Danny. Be good, man.
That's Al Michaels reminiscing about Tim McCarver, who passed away yesterday at the age of 81. Also lost somebody earlier in the week. In fact, over the weekend, Barry Sachs, who I'd worked with at ESPN. He was a senior producer there. You know, you talk about people who care about the bottom line, the end product, but never cared about getting credit, ever, ever, ever. One of the most selfless people that I ever worked with, Barry Sachs. He passed away and left quite a legacy at the mothership. That people appreciated his passion, his work ethic, and that he cared. But never once did he say, hey, look at what I did. Let me tell you what I did. He always cared about the bottom line. And you don't find too many of those people. Not in our business, but he was truly unique. Barry Sachs. Take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Last call for phone calls, what we learned. We will be off all next week on vacation and just for a week. That's it. Then we'll be back. I didn't want to go on vacation, but the Danettes overruled me there. He's like, okay. Yeah, Marv.
Will you be visiting the man cave at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm here every afternoon. I come back.
Adjusting some things.
Yes, of course. I have to tweak things, make sure, like a picture, you know, the Dan Marino jersey is a little off center. I got to fix that. You know, just important things in my life. When OCD kicks in, oh, it is bad. I drive my wife crazy. She'll, you know, she's not somebody who's like attention to detail like I am. And I go, that's crooked. Why would you have the painting that high? Like, it shouldn't be down here. And then she's like, well, okay, you do it. Yeah. Yeah, see.
I like that we had like some people in here help sort of design the set a little bit. Yeah. And it's like, sort of, that's kind of what they do for a living.
Yes, they do.
And you walked in one day and you were like, this is all wrong. Looking at this one wall, you're like, this is all wrong.
I know.
No,
I know.
No, definitely not.
I know.
Okay, Dan.
I know.
All right.
I know.
But I won Best Carpenter 9 years in a row. What could be wrong about what
this
I did?
This is all wrong.
This day in sports history, Todd, you have a couple items since Paulie's not here today?
You know
today?
What? I don't have that. I had so many other things. Of course, you find the one thing that I don't have to
do. Well, you had scoreboard.
I did have scoreboard. I have what we learned. I had some poll ideas, sprinkled in a few guests.
Okay.
But I don't have that.
On this date, 1967, Wilt Chamberlain makes the first of what would become an NBA record, 35 consecutive field goals without a miss. That broke his old record of 32. Let's see. What else do we have here? Hall of Fame opens in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
1968.
It's a fun place.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. If you get an opportunity and you're in this area, well worth a visit.
If you like basketball.
Yeah.
It's a place to visit.
Yes, it is. Yes, Marv.
Today is Michael Jordan and Jim Brown's birthday.
Ooh. 60 for Mike. Jim Brown in his 80s?
I think upper 80s, yeah.
80. Oh, is it?
I think he might be like 87 or something.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Hmm. He was just out at the Super Bowl. I think he was there for the NFL honors. Jim Brown. Let's see. Anything else? Fernando Tatis Jr. III signed his $340 million contract extension with the Padres. If you gave him a do-over. the longest field goal in NBA history was made on this day. In 2001, I'm going to go to Marvin because you are the NBA expert.
You said the longest field goal?
Longest field goal in NBA history. NBA history.
2001?
I gave you the year. That's not the question.
The question is who hit it?
No, I'm saying the year's 2001. Okay.
Yeah.
George McLeod.
No.
Okay, that's all I had.
Baron Davis.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
89 feet. I like how they put an 89-foot three-pointer. Yes, it is. That is a three-pointer
for
there.
Two.
Yeah. Brandy in Iowa is back. Hi, Brandy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. I feel like I'm on the first tee at Pebble following Al Michaels with the first call, so I hope this isn't a whiff. But quick plug / suggestion. Hmm? Marvin's getting shortchanged a week of February with the vacation. Hmm. Music has been awesome. I'm plugging for him to get the month of March as well. I'll let you take that away.
Sure. I have no problem with that. Yeah. You want March?
Let's go. Marv Madness.
Yeah.
Marv Madness.
I love that.
Let's go.
T-shirt.
Marv Madness. I love that.
How about Marv Madness with your hands on the shirt so you can measure your hands against Marvin? Marv Madness.
That is fantastic.
I like it. Matthew in San Antonio. Hi, Matt. What's on your mind tonight?
Thanks for getting me on, Dan. I appreciate it before your time off. Y'all were talking about the Tiger War. I went to the Colonial in Fort Worth in 1997 because I had to look back at it was the only time that Tiger played the course because he always played the Byron Nelson. And it was, if you've been to Colonial, it is a tight course. And the roars were incredible. He faltered at the end, Tiger did. He lost to David Frost, but it was the loudest roar that I've seen or heard at a golf tournament.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. And if you talk to golfers, they'll tell you that there's a difference, that there's roars and then there's a Tiger roar. Who is the favorite to win the dunk contest? Anybody want to wager a guess here? Fritzy, I'm not even going to go to you because you have no idea
who's
in the contest. Exactly.
Spud Webb was great.
Marv?
He was. Kenya Martin Jr.?
He is second. My pick, Mac McClung. The white guy, he's third. It's Jericho Sims. Exactly.
The faces of the NBA you just named.
And Trey Murphy, the third. If you're called Trey, you're already the third. So drop the third. It's Trey Murphy or just calling by what his real name is and then put the third. You can't be Trey Murphy, like three Murphy three.
But if you drop the three and everybody's like, so why do they call you Trey? You'd be like, oh, because I'm the third. Like, but you don't have the third at the end of your name.
No, but Trey Young, he's probably the third.
I think he spells it different.
Oh, he does. Oh, that's right.
Right.
T-R-A-E. Okay. But yeah, if you're Trey, you're third.
And Trey Table's not necessarily the third table. Oh, boy. I was debating whether to say that out loud. Trey doesn't necessarily mean three for every person named Trey.
The favorite to win the three-point shooting contest. Marvin, I'll go to you. This, according to DraftKings, we have co-favorites. Co-favorites.
Dame.
Dan, Dame isn't on that list of longest shots either. Remember that shot he hit that was like...
Yeah.
Buddy?
Buddy Hield.
Buddy
Hield and Dame Lillard.
Let's go, Buddy.
Co-favorites. Then Jason Tatum. Kevin Huerta. Tyler Hero. Tyrese Halliburton. Laurie Markkanen, and then Julius Randle. Marvin has Julius Randle winning the three-point shooting contest there.
Let's go.
$20. Let's go.
Let's see. Final results of the poll question, Seton.
Yep, final results, Dan. We got, would you rather win the slam dunk contest or the three-point contest? Right now, barely eking it out is the three-point contest, 51-49. How about that?
All right.
That's a close one. We also had, if you could only go to one this weekend, people are really into the Genesis Invitational.
Yeah, because as long as Tiger's there.
Yeah,
let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd?
I like something Seton said earlier. Executives get credit for putting super teams together, but the players are criticized for taking a shortcut to a title.
All right, Seton O'Connor, what did you learn?
Brian Windhorst is a boss.
Yeah, I like Wendy. Marvin?
Wendy said Bronny is an NBA player.
I know, and I'll bet he's got a first-round grade now. Todd, what did I learn on today's award-nominated program?
We all learned, thanks to you, you can have a bad round, but not a bad day at Pebble Beach or Augusta.
I also learned that Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. Everything you've earned, doubled. Cash back from trips and restaurants, all doubled. How great is that? See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. My thanks to the Danettes, all the backroom guys. Had a wonderful winter here, football season. Time to take a break.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. Like no other automaker can. The vehicle, all electric. The feeling, all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.